before I died. I looked out the forward port and saw that Phosphorus's escape pod was still in the manipulator arm's grip.
"I've got the pod," I said. "You'll win the prize, no matter what happens to me."
"Idiot!" Marguerite's voice screeched. "He's trying to save your life!"
That made my eyes open.
"Pay attention," Fuchs said, almost soothingly. "You've got to do some flying. Your control surfaces should still be working."
"Yes." He started giving me instructions, his voice calm but imperative, trying to get me to swing around in a great descending arc so that he could bring Lucifer close enough to take me aboard. "I'm not that good a flyer," I told myself tiredly as I tried to understand his commands and respond to them. "I'm no jet jockey. What does he expect of me? Why doesn't he leave me alone? Why is he doing this?"
The memory of Marguerite's shrill voice answered my question. "He's trying to save your life."
"You're overcorrecting," Fuchs said sharply. "Pull the nose up, or you'll dive back into the ground."
"I'm trying."
It was a good thing that all I had to do was slide my fingers across the control pads. It wasn't easy, though. My fingers were burned and blistering so badly that I used my knuckles against the pads. The controls were much livelier than they'd been down close to the surface. Up at this altitude, the air was about 10 times thicker than Earth's at sea level, and Hecate was operating somewhere between a submersible and a soroplane. The ship was trembling, shaking almost like a living creature swimming through the oven-hot air. I realized that holding the spherical pod up in front of her was not helping her aerodynamics. I could fly more easily if I released the pod, but I shook my head inside the helmet. Whatever was left of Alex was inside that pod, I was certain of it. "We're going through this together, big brother," I said to him silently. "We live or die together, Alex."
Suddenly Fuchs yelled, "No, no, no, level off! Use the horizon as your guide! Keep your nose on the horizon!"
That wasn't as easy as he thought. The air was still thick enough to distort long-distance vision. The horizon wasn't flat. It curved upward conspicuously like a bowl, like the meniscus of a thick liquid in a narrow glass.
"The body of your ship will provide lift if you maintain the proper attitude," Fuchs said more calmly. Then he added, "And speed. You've got to maintain speed, too."
Hecate was soaring along now, still vibrating badly, but gliding on a more or less even keel. I felt giddy from the heat, my mouth dry, every muscle in my body screaming with pain.
"Attitude and speed determine altitude," Fuchs was saying, almost as if he were reciting an ancient formula. "You're doing well, Van."
"Thanks," I mumbled.
"Stay visit."
"I don't know if I can stay conscious much longer," I stammered.
"You've got to," he snapped. "There's no alternative. You've got to keep awake and pilot your ship. Otherwise, we won't be able to make rendezvous."
"I'm trying."
"Then try harder. Stay awake."
"It's hot."
"Just a few minutes more,"
Fuchs said, suddenly coaxing, almost pleading.
"Just a few minutes more."
I blinked. Far off against that baking hot horizon, I saw a dark spot moving. We were still on the night side of Venus, but the glow from the ground was bright enough for me to make out a dot against the sullen yellow-gray clouds above me. It couldn't be anything except Lucifer. Or eye strain, that sardonic voice in my head sneered. Or even an hallucination. Fuchs's voice crackled in my earphones again.
"I can't see you yet, but we've got you on radar. Maintain your current speed and attitude, but turn left 10 degrees.
10 degrees? I blinked at the control panel. It seemed blurred, baffling.
"Turn left! I'll tell you when to stop."
I slid my knuckles across the control pads, slowly, carefully, my failing eyes on that dark spot off along the curving horizon.
"Too far! Hold it there! Hold it! I'll adjust our course to match yours."
All I wanted to do was sleep, collapse, die. It didn't matter anymore. I didn't care. But then I remembered why I was here, what I had promised myself that I'd do.
"Very well," I said to whatever gods were watching over me. "If I die, it won't be because I gave up."
Just at the moment,
As if in answer to an unvoiced prayer, Lucifer lit up like a Christmas ornament. Running lights came to life all along her teardrop-shaped body and began blinking on and off like a welcoming beacon. Whatever reserves of adrenaline or moral fiber or just plain stubbornness that remained in me rose up. I still ached from scalp to toes, still felt as weak as a newborn kitten. My suit was still sloshing with perspiration and the heat was suffocating me, but I kept my eyes open and my burned hands on the control pads despite the heat, trying my best to hold the speed and attitude that Fuchs wanted. Then he said, "Now comes the hot pot," and my heart sank. "You've got to lose a little altitude and a lot of speed so you can pass beneath us where we can grab you." I remembered that rendezvous was such a tricky maneuver in the simulations that I had botched it more often than not, and that had been with Hecate flying on her own power. I was piloting a glider now. I had used up all the thruster's fuel trying to break free of those arms holding me down on the surface. "You'll only get one shot at this," Fuchs warned, "so you've got to do it right the first time." "Understood," I said, my voice a dry, harsh cough. "I'd do this with the automatic controls from here in Lucifer," he added, "but your systems aren't responding to my signals." "Must be damaged," I said. Fuchs said, "Maybe the heat," but I remembered Hecate slamming into a boulder or something when the tidal wave first struck. Most likely the antennas for the remote control receivers were damaged then. "Okay now," Fuchs said. I could hear him taking a deep breath, like a man about to start an impossibly difficult task. "Diving planes down 5 degrees. I knew where the diving plane control was. I had to stretch my leg to get the toe of my boot on the left pedal. My foot cramped horribly, but I think the pain actually helped to keep me awake. The digital display read -1, -2. Abruptly, I heard a tearing, grinding sound, and Hecate flipped over onto her back so hard I was banged against the overhead in a narrow cockpit. I must have screamed, or at least yelled out something. Fuchs was bellowing in my earphones, but I couldn't understand his words. The ship was spinning madly, slamming me around inside the cockpit like the ball in a highlight game bouncing off the walls. My head rattled inside the heavy metal helmet. Despite the padding, I saw stars and tasted blood in my mouth. One thought came screeching through my pain. One lesson I had learned in the simulations. The stabilizing jets. Hecate had a set of small cold jet units placed at her nose, tail, and along the sides of the hull. I started to reach for the bright yellow pad that would fire them. Then realized that all this had started when I'd moved the diving planes. I'd have to bring them back to neutral before the jets could stabilize the ship's spin. I saw a glaring red light blinking at me from the control panel. One of the diving planes had not responded to my command. That's what flipped Hecate into this spin. It must have been damaged down on the surface, bent or broken against that boulder. Fuchs was still roaring at me, but I concentrated every gram of my will on the control panel. Bracing myself against the constant slamming around caused by the ship's spin, I brought the diving plane back to its neutral position and then fired the stabilizing jets. For a moment I thought Hecate would tear herself apart. But then the spinning slowed and then stopped. The ship was under my control again and diving straight for the ground.
"Pull up! Pull up!" Fuchs was bellowing. "Get her nose up!"
His voice was hoarse, scratchy. "Trying," I croaked. The smaller control surfaces seemed to work all right. Hecate swooped up in a zoom that dropped my stomach far behind me. Following Fuchs's painfully rasping commands, I made Hecate climb back up almost to his altitude, then slowly coasted toward Lucifer. Staying away from the diving planes, I jinked and jerked my ship raggedly closer and closer. My strength was fading fast. It was so damnably hot, and whatever reserves of adrenaline I had been riding on were totally spent now. Looking up through the forward port, I saw Lucifer looming bigger and bigger, its lights still winking and blinking insanely. Its cargo bay doors swung open, and the grappling arms extended down toward me. I lowered my manipulators slightly so I could get a better view of the grapples.
"Velocity looks good,"
Fuchs was saying, almost crooning.